in a place of worship today. Amen? Wow, I was so blessed. And now you've got me in the blessing mood. So I'm going to start by giving two testimonies. One is more of a prayer request, and then the other is testimony. So I'll start with that first one. You have been hearing on the news on Easter Sunday in the nation of Sri Lanka. You've been hearing about that. That's one of the nations, Pastor Joy, that we are closely associated with. Well over 20 years we've been going. And that was not what I was expecting. And it wasn't what they were expecting. And today, my day began when I went out and checked my email. The day actually began with a prayer alert because intelligence had been picked up that some more bombing could happen today. It's very interesting when you're across the ocean and you get those types of emails. Actually, I'd gotten another one last night, and I kind of looked at the clock and just kind of reached into that. But this morning, I so sensed that it was important to get the word out. So I just took a little bit more time to get the word out to intercessors. So I want to cite two things for us. We really do serve a great God. We really, really do. Amen. And one of the things that maybe didn't quite get all of the communication to us via CBC or CTV, etc., was that the church on the East Coast called Zion Church, there were two Catholic churches bombed on the west side, a couple of the luxury hotels, and then the east side of Zion Church. And immediately, I began to ask all of the questions that we would ask. Zion Church are our brothers and sisters. They are a dynamic, charismatic, loving Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus, a place of his dynamic presence. Though we have not preached in that church, we've preached right along that coast, and we thank the Lord for every individual, every ministry that is there. Something began, you know, to stir in my heart, and I asked the question, why that church? And what I'm about to share could seem negative, but it's okay today to know that we can raise a legitimate hallelujah to the Lord. It was, that was the question I asked. Just a few days after that, we were with one of the pastors who pastors, Sri Lankan pastor, pastors in Ottawa, but has close links, actually would have been back into the country. And I asked him the question. I said, Pastor Vachon, why? Or Pastor Banjo, why Zion Church? He said the terrorists, the mode of operation that they had decided was to do all of these at one time. So you heard that on the news. It was synchronized on purpose. And they had chosen their targets, they felt, according to a particular strategy. And in Bataclo, they had felt geographically they wanted to be on both sides of the island. That would automatically bring in the second ethnicity of the island. That is where the Tamil people would be living. On that side of the island, the church that they chose, there was a mistake in the planning, and the church service was finished. So they simply went down the street and found a church. It's probably the only one in that immediate area that starts their service at that particular time. And so they walked in, and as you heard on the news, I think around 16, there were 27 people died that morning at that church, and I think about 16 were children. As we think about our little people that just went through that door to have their time with the Lord, and the terrorist became very nervous, not because he was about to die, but because his orders were that at when it hit 8, I think it was 28, 35 or 37, he was to be detonating the bomb. And so he came in, God bless the ushers, came in, and he said, I want to go sit there. And they said, you know, it's not really good protocol for you. You're welcome, but not in the front row. And so he left, he went out, he looked at his watch and ran toward the children were passing between, going into their service, and detonated the bomb. It's the stories that are coming out. There are mother. I don't even know if they do Mother's Day in Sri Lanka. I forgot to ask. But I know that testimonies have come. One graduate from theological seminary was in that church not too long ago, had just graduated, and he lost his life that day. Others, the senior pastor just happened to be away preaching in Norway. He was not home, but I've listened to his video message, and it was a message of forgiveness. It was a message of vigilance. It was a message of confidence in God. And we really do serve an amazing God. We really do. When I was praying this morning, I just standing there in front of the mirror, I said, God, I'm not sure what would you say. I'm so thankful to hear about prelude. I commend you. I bless you. Just go for it and keep it going. Amen. Let something supernatural happen through prelude. Amen. So this morning, I just heard the Lord say, eyes and wings. Now, those who would know the passage in Ezekiel 1, you would go, huh? Because I've probably never understood that passage, Pastor Joy. It is a very strange visualization. It is creatures that have eyes and wings in multiplicity, and they move unhindered, and they can be and go and move. And the whole picture is simply a presentation of the power of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit said, I am about to operate that way in Sri Lanka in answer to prayer. He said, I will create eyes that will see. Not speaking spiritually now, but speaking vigilance of police forces, of soldiers, of leaders in Jesus' name. And then the Lord said, even as eyes and wings, the wings, I am actually going to cause people to wonder why they were going there to check, but they went there to check instead. So I knew, Pastor Joy, that I needed to get that word to the leaders this morning that had issued the alert. One of the things that God has done, I want us to know that we are not living in an ordinary hour. We've already figured that out, amen? This one ain't ordinary, okay? And our what we declared this morning, what you sang unto the Lord. But here is, now watch with me when I tell you this part of it, and then we're going to go right in the Word. There is an amazing lady, a believer, your sister. You will meet her in heaven. She has been bought by the blood of Jesus. She loves the Lord. Her name is Rosie. I can't pronounce her last name, so I'll just say her first name is Rosie. A number of years ago, she had an appointed position, an executive level position in the government of Sri Lanka. And she was being groomed to rise and be elected to a government position. In that process, she was defeated in the vote. That was hard. We were there ahead of that time, and we were in a retreat. We were with other believers. We were worshiping. And because she loves Jesus, she's Bible believing, Jesus honoring, tongues talking, amen. And so Rosie asked if she could, or somebody contacted her, and we were informed, let us come. And a few people had walked in. We went over and we had the privilege of praying and prophesying to her. And so it was puzzling to me when she was not elected. I said, God, her country needs her. If ever we needed believers in government offices, somebody say amen. It's right now. And that includes Canada. Amen. And so in all of this, you know, God preserved her heart. She did not get bitter. There were even some Christian voices that rose up nationally and basically rolled their eyes and said, well, yeah, but, you know. And that made me unhappy, my brother. But she accepted a lower position in the government for a period of time and served God well in that position. When we were there a year ago, February, mid-February, we flew in. Before we even left the airport, while we were pulling away, one of the pastors was telling us, he said, it is the most remarkable thing. He said, Rosie has just been elected as the mayor of the capital city. And the capital city, that country is, Colombo is almost like a separate entity within the country, because it is the place of the greater population. It's the financial center. It's it's the main airport. And when one thinks about that, we just said, Father, thank you that you have put your daughter, that there is somebody that can access the mind of God. You have kept your servant from being bitter, and she is positioned on purpose. But little did we know that 13 months after she was put into place, she had gone to a conference at our friend's church. They had prayed over, the election happened, she was in position. The leadership of that church went to the mayor's chambers and prayed with her, calling in the presence of God, declaring access to heaven. Little did anyone guess that 13 months later, she would be at the helm. She would be in charge of the capital city where the major attacks happened. God is amazing, folks. Hallelujah. He is amazing. I had begun to, when we were issuing prayer requests, people were getting said, how do we pray? We know you are often there. And I was frequently saying, pray for the mayor. So it was her that got a hold of the church and said, we're picking up this intelligence and pray. I thank God. Then just adjacent to this, our friend's church is not the largest church in that city. Thank God for every church in Colombo, in the whole nation. But it is like a command center of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how else to describe it. It's really purposed of God. They were hated by the Buddhist neighbors. They were despised by the Buddhist community. They were often harassed by others. But God began to work a miracle, and they cried out to God. Now, I don't think they make butter tarts, okay? But they cried out, and I love butter tarts. It's no fun to get her the day after butter tarts. But they said, God, how can we serve? And the Lord began to show them very practical ways. We have nothing that corresponds to this, but traffic is a bit heavy in Colombo. And the police officers stand in the midst of it and direct traffic at rush hour. And they were in uniform, they had whistles, but they wanted reflective gloves, white gloves that would reflect, and even at night then they could be in position. So the sun goes down about 6, so it's not quite over yet. And the church spoke up and said, we'll buy those gloves. And they began to buy gloves for the police officers. Christmas time came. They took gifts in to the officers. On Easter Sunday, instead of being antagonistic, the police showed up at Overcomers Church. Good name for that church, by the way. Showed up at Pastor Woody and Melanie's church and did the perusal, making sure there were no explosives. They stayed the entire service to protect the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah today. So sometimes when we hear these things in the news, we think, God, what am I supposed to think? What am I supposed to feel? Well, I tell you today, what we sang is valid. What we sang is true. You can raise a hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that likely our brothers and our sisters are singing that, particularly in Zion Church, because there would be more there, of course, that know the Lord intimately. And they are now singing, hope will rise out of those ashes in the name of the Lord. So we rejoice today in the victory that is ours. Jack and I are so glad to be back with you. I'm going to hold the other testimony, but it was a good one, okay? It was kind of like the butter tarts. It tasted good. All right. So go with me to Exodus and chapter, we're going to be in 3. We're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to romp over to Hebrews 11 in a minute. And just in case we miss anything, we'll stop in at Acts 7 as well. Father, we ask you now that we will have ears to hear. You've been talking a lot about our ears in prayer last night, in the prayer room this morning. And so we thank you that because you've done a work of grace, that on Main Street today in Hamilton, Ontario, there is a congregating, there is a gathering of ears to hear from heaven in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the moms. We thank you that you are going to direct, as you have spoken to Jack and I and to me personally. God, this is not just abstract scriptural principles, but this stuff will work in our own families. We thank you for your church. We thank you for this house, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, and the house said amen. When we open our Bibles, we come to Exodus 3, and the Word of God declares in verse 2, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. I thought it was very interesting this morning because the Spirit of God landed when we were singing, Set That Fire. And one of the significant understandings of fire in the Word of God is that fire is a visualization of the living presence of God. You were asking God for His presence this morning. You were asking God to inflame your spirit man with the very consuming power of God. So it's interesting to us because we've got Moses, we've got a place, and we've got fire, hallelujah. Now, it's not unusual for a bush to burn in this desert. I remember I lived on a farm, and my dad, when it was haying season, when it was June, and the hay would be cut, the alfalfa be put into those bales, and Dad would say, one thing we have to be careful of, it has to be dry enough before it gets compacted, stacked into the barn. And I would say, why is that, Daddy? And he would say, it's internal combustion. I said, I don't know what that means, Daddy. And he would talk, he would explain it to me, that the gases emitted from green alfalfa could actually catch fire. I never understood that as a kid. I'm just really glad it never happened, okay? But in this desert where Moses was tending sheep, it was common for bushes to burn. But it does not say that he just saw the bush burn and so went, oh, bush is burning. But it says this one was different. I celebrate with you today that God does not only know how to talk, he knows how to get us ready to hear. I want us to know, when we were singing and the young lady was leading off in that, and the song, I don't know that song, but the Father's arms open wide, you referenced it, sir. I leaned back to Jack and I said, can we sing that song now over our daughter? And so while we were singing, it became our intercession for her today, clear across the nation in BC, northern BC. Moses, to summarize it, Moses was not walking in his destiny. Destiny becomes a very important word as we continue this morning. I love it because I was already hearing, thank you for that word about tough mutterers. The destiny, it's so important that we get an understanding of destiny. Destiny. But Moses, he's obviously not walking in his destiny. You read his story. He's not in his destiny. But a bush starts burning, and the supernatural that was happening, the uncommon, how many know God would be able to work in uncommon ways? It says it wasn't consumed. Now, it should have been consumed. That bush is tinder dry. It's touch it with a spark. It's gone. Not this one. And he says, I love these words in verse 3. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. What begins to happen in these next chapters? Well, let me tell you what I've entitled this whole time in the Word this morning, Something Set in Motion by a Mother's Faith. Something Set in Motion by a Mother's Faith. Now, fathers too, but since I'm not due back on June 16th, I'm just going to say mothers today, tough mothers. Come with me this morning to this burning bush. It's burning, it's not consumed. I submit to you today that when that bush was burning, but the flames were being fed by something other than the natural. Come on. It wasn't the natural that was sustaining the flame. I submit to us that it was an amazing prophetic picture to a man that was derailed, detoured, dismayed, disappointment. Get as many of those words in there that you can, because in that moment, the flame was a picture of God's faithfulness that had never gone out. Hallelujah. That flame, a picture of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness prevails, folks. While we were on our way here this morning, the Spirit began to stir up a passage, and I was puzzled because I couldn't find the scripture. Who moved it? The Jesus. And then after we got here, and then we went to prayer, and then afterwards, and as I was sitting there, just as we were about to, I thought, I've got to check. I found it. And in just a moment, I'm going to be going with you to that. And God opened something. I've never seen it before, sitting right in that chair. It's mine now, okay? Now it's part of me. It's part of this message, but it's part of me now. The faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God endures. Faithfulness of God does not expire. The faithfulness of God does not halt at a given place on the road. The faithfulness, that flame, a picture of the faithfulness of God. And it had never gone out in Jesus' name. I suggest to you, Moses, you don't know it yet, but your identity is about to be reactivated. Do you have anybody in your life whose identity needs to be reactivated? I do. Moms, are you praying for somebody today whose identity needs to be reactivated? Something has gone dormant. Something has stopped. Something that was is no more. But Moses, your identity is about to be reactivated. Hallelujah. That's not all. Moses, your destiny is about to be reinstated. Woo! And he's going to go, I object, I object, I object. I could have believed this 40 years ago. I could have believed this. But Moses, the flame is still burning. Reinstate my destiny? Yeah, Moses. Yeah, but he'll sputter away. When you read this chapter, he'll keep sputtering for the whole chapter. Okay, it's all right. He's not stuttering, he's sputtering. He's hearing God, and every time God speaks, I understand about sputtering. Because sometimes I hear me. I declare with you today, something has been set in motion. But let me help us with this. This has taken a long time to get into the inventory of my life, okay? But kind of started one day talking to our daughter. We were having pie together and having a good visit. We had just driven through northern BC, through Terrace, where she lives. It was good to be together. Our ministry circuit would take us through there. We're sitting across the table from her at the restaurant. And I said, "Well, honey, I wanted you to know I've stopped praying for your salvation." The fork almost went flying out of her hand. Her eyes became filled with panic. She went, "Oh!" You know, strange sounds almost came out of her mouth. And before she could go any further, like, "No, don't do that," you know, I said to her, "Honey, I've stopped praying for your salvation, and I've started praying for your destiny." Amen. Somebody needs to receive that today. For two reasons. There's people that you love and you're vested in. Moms, maybe you birthed them. And you have watched them waver and you've watched them detour. And sometimes we just want them to miss hell and make heaven their home. Now, I want that too. I have no intention of being without our girls for eternity. But the Lord has really said, what about her destiny? I would have to take quite a while to tell you why we know by revelation that she is handpicked by God in destiny. Another time we were visiting and we were talking about Grandpa Kennedy, Jack's grandfather. Part of revival amongst the First Nations in that corner of BC in the early 1900s. One of the most valuable things in our home, in the natural, is a picture of Grandpa Kennedy standing in a Salvation Army uniform, holding his Bible. Come on. Grandpa Kennedy, part of a revival, a preacher, would go on trips into the other communities preaching the gospel. People are in heaven today because of that great revival. And we were talking about that with our daughter. We had just been up into that community. Three of us in the car, now we could get in. We'd been married 25 years before Jack had taken me up to Old Kitsilas, but don't be too hard on him. The road wasn't very good until finally we could. And the boat trip in would have been a little difficult. But we're up there, and we went to the graveyard, and the graveyard had a group of students on summer work project had cleaned the graveyard. It was just looking good. Those headstones, those gravestones out of that era, sir, salvation, 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 scripture, scripture, scripture. It was like, woohoo, I'm doing happy dance right here. We left there and we're driving along. Our daughter is sitting in the front with her dad. I'm in the back seat. And all of a sudden, I looked out. We're going slowly along the river there, along the road. And I said, "Stop, Jack." I opened the door, and there were raspberries. Now, if they were salmon berries, it would mean one thing, because salmon berries, they're like orange blackberries. I don't think you have them here. Okay, they're good. And if they were salmon berries, they grow there. But these were raspberries. Raspberries are not native born to that area. Somebody in a previous generation had planted those raspberries. I reached out. I grabbed some of those berries. They're little. They're you know, they needed cultivation. They needed care. They needed gardening. They needed it. But they were still there. And the Holy Spirit quickened and said, you are eating the fruit of a previous generation. Yeah. Woohoo! Yes. So we were talking that way with our daughter. And the next couple of days, and she said to us, she said, yeah, but so many people have walked away from it. And she said, she looked at Jack just like, don't you get it? And she said, it's just like we're one generation from everything that Grandpa Kennedy stands for being lost. Now, she was wanting us to panic about that. We're sitting there ready to raise another hallelujah. And I thought, and why does it bother you so much, sweetheart? It's because you're the carrier of his presence in your in our family. You're the carrier. You're the continuance. You are. Grandpa Kennedy walked that same road, praying for his children, praying for his children's children. I'm married to his children's children. And praying for the next generation to carry forward the message of the blood of Jesus Christ, the welcome of heaven at an altar, the power of God to transform. Honey, do you know why that upsets you? Because you aren't the missing link. You are the link. Hallelujah. We were standing in another nation. It's a restricted nation, so I really can't tell you where we were standing. But I looked out, and I was preaching something out of this passage. Holy Spirit said, the devil regrets your salvation, but he fears your destiny. I want to go and say that to every individual in this room. The devil regrets your salvation, but he fears your destiny. Something had been set in motion by a mother's faith. The flame, the picture of God's faithfulness, was not consumed. Something was set in motion by Moses' parents. And it wasn't just for Moses alone. Because if we know our Bibles, way back, I won't be turning there with you, but in Genesis in chapter 15, God has an encounter, or Moses has an encounter with God. And God says to Moses, you will have offspring. And you will, your family, your offspring will go into a land. They will be there 400 years. And then I'm bringing them out. And they'll go in and obtain the promise. God intended to be faithful to Abram. God intended to fulfill. There's an interesting verse. Mark it down. Read it later. Acts 7 and verse 17. And it's a word about time. It says, when the hour was coming for God to fulfill the word to Abraham. I don't know a lot about the spiritual history of Hamilton, but I know Hamilton has spiritual history. I know that prayers have been prayed that are on record in heaven. I know that those prayers have not all been answered. I've got my timer set. Now, it'll be debatable if I'll stop when this goes off. When this iPhone rings, the idea is the time has come. And I'm wondering if we could see heaven's iPhone today. If we could see heaven's timer. You see, Moses, I'm not sure he was so good counting to 400. It was just kind of like, well, messed up. That was over. Could have been good. Will never be. Too bad. And meanwhile, heaven's clock is pushing toward a divine time. What God is stirring in this church, of course he's responding to you. Of course he's responding to your investment, your faithfulness. But God isn't done responding to the faithfulness of previous generations in the city of Hamilton. Met a man the other day at a conference. He introduced himself to us. I looked at him and he told me, he says, yeah, but you know my brother, and yes, we do. And all of a sudden I looked at him. I said, I also know about your family, that your family were living in Leeds, a part of the UK. It was the charismatic renewal in the early 70s. Charismatic renewal hit that part of the world too. And that man with his wife, the two of them, heard God. And God said, because of what I'm about to do, move to Hamilton, Ontario. Man. God is being faithful to Moses. But God is going back much further and being faithful to Abraham. But this morning especially, God is being faithful to Moses' parents. At this point, so go with me to Hebrews 11. That doesn't surprise you. In Hebrews 11, look at verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. I'm about to go into that verse with you. I'm about to list 5 things with you. We sang this morning, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and fill the atmosphere. I believe God wants to fill the atmosphere with more than just what happens in this building while the lights are on today. There are dynamics that God is gracious. It's like he's giving us injections into our faith levels. Now, his parents, I want us to think about that for a moment. When they made their decision, what was up? Pharaoh. A new Pharaoh had come. The Israelites in Goshen up to that point had thrived. They were honored. They were celebrated by the leadership of Egypt until one dynasty finished, another came. And it was oppression. It was servitude. It was hard labor. It was hard. And in those hours, if we could just get this in our spirit, with the clock ticking closer to their release from Egypt, the heart of Pharaoh became galvanized with an increased unfair, unjust, evil, oppressive response. We often say, if we're into that climate, then where's God? God may be standing over at the clock with his finger looking, pointing to exactly the hour. So an hour came. Now, for them, I don't know, it says that by faith, but I don't know if they said, what happens in this house is going to change the world. They might have thought it was a very private matter. It's their baby. It's their, let me see, there's already Aaron, there's already Miriam. It's the baby boy. I'm so glad they didn't say, we've had enough blessing. We'll stop now. No, there's something wrong with iPhones in this building. Not good iPhones at all. His parents said, we're not going to forfeit our child to the norms of this generation. I heard that being prayed in that room this morning. Well, you've already got two kids and they escaped the butchery of Pharaoh. Just satisfy yourself with two. That's not so bad. They said, no, no. We may not get the full dimension that someday in 2019, there's going to be a nation called Israel that will be in the news. And what happens in this house is somehow part of God's plan for all of that. See, Holy Spirit wants you to think it's just your stuff at your house. But their parents said, we're not forfeiting our baby. They said, we're going to do it differently. And the Bible says by faith. So we better find out some of that climate. Number one, a kairos, a kairos. Each of these start with A, except I have to make two words out of that one. A kairos. If you wanted to just say appointment with heaven, that'll work. May God bring us the revelation that we're not just May with cool temperatures where frost could happen on a Mother's Day. No, it's big. It's big. This hour is big in God. Number two, they were among a fellowship of bold faith. I got so blessed about this. You know those midwives? You read their story in Exodus 1. Here you've got this couple. I don't even know if they knew what was going on with the midwives. I have an announcement for Core Church today. You are part of a much wider fellowship of faith than you have even met. I don't know if the midwives knew Moses' parents. We have no indication that they met together. So how do you feel? What do you feel? What did God say? What are the answers? What are the solutions? But my Bible, thank God for the book, tells me it was an hour when there was an amazing fellowship of bold faith. The word, it was so good, that one about tough mudders. Those midwives, they're gutsy gals. I've never done it before. Last night when we were praying into this morning, I felt so led to check out their names. Oh, their names are there, Shipra and Pua. Not too impressive, Shipra, Pua. Who cares about Shipra, Pua? But when you look at their names, each of their names, Shipra means brightness, and Pua means glitter, brilliantly. And I began to get so excited that in the darkest hour of the Hebrew 400 years in Egypt, that God raised up gutsy gals, and they were like neon flashing signs. The Bible says they feared the Lord. Come on, more of you should have said amen. Glittering, brilliant, shining, radiant with the fear of God. And God honored them. And when Pharaoh said, what's going on here? You're supposed to kill those babies. They said, yeah, but I know they're just so robust. When they have their babies are already born before we got here, and so we can't do it.
Yeah, come on. Hallelujah.
Gutsy gals. May God raise up gutsy gals, tough mutters, churches that believe. Whether you're in Bataclan, Sri Lanka, or whether you're in Hamilton, Ontario. Number three, there is an atmosphere of bold risk taking. I hate to tell you this, but what a crazy idea. Butter tarts. How'd you know you were going to sell them? What were you going to do if they all just sat around? What if nobody came through the door? What if people said, stupid? None of that happened. And this morning, we're celebrating that over 900 people are right where we are this morning. And if you prayed, and I know you did, and if you heard from God, and I'm sure you did, then something supernatural, that they may already have eaten the butter tart, but they're still thinking about that place on that corner. Bold risk-taking. It's one thing to keep a baby quiet for 3 months. They said, we got to come to another plan. Well, there's so much prophetic anointing on that. Sure. We proved God. For 3 months, keeping this baby quiet. None of Pharaoh's soldiers have come by. No patrols have come to snatch him out of our house. But this calls for a new word from God. I'm just going to let that land in your midst by the Spirit. The word of God says that the plan, oh, we know it, you know, the baby, bulrushes, sitting the baby in a papyrus basket. But we also know about the miracle that the daughter of Pharaoh found that baby. Number four, there had already been an alignment with heaven's vision over their child. I heard this prayed. I heard this declared from your pastor this morning. It's more than just your child has potential. Have you allowed God to reveal to you heaven's plan? And when heaven reveals the plan, heaven brings us into partnership in the plan. I remember when God awakened my heart to Toronto. And Toronto, up to that point, used to exist to get me lost and make me late. Total relationship with the place. One day, as a result of what God was doing, and because of what God was about to do, suddenly, we're driving in early on a Sunday morning. That one was sunny. And it was the sunrise was breaking over the edge of the city. And brilliantly shining off of the buildings. And it looked like glory had landed. And something of heaven came into my spirit. And right now I can tell you, I'll fight for the vision for Toronto. I've stood and I've declared and then I've repeated it. That as surely as there was a Bethlehem, there is a Toronto. But the places that God, I'll fight for Canada. Every once in a while, somebody will say something. I read a deal the other day about Canada. I thought, mute that one. They are not carrying the vision. They haven't heard God about this nation. You hear God about this nation and Grand Prairie, Alberta, and Iqaluit, and British Columbia, and Tofino, and keep naming it. Oh, throw in Hamilton, please. All suddenly come in to divine destiny and purpose. Woo! The Bible says they were aligning with heaven. This is no ordinary child. It's not just, oh, sweet, nice brown eyes. They aligned with that destiny. And number five, they attained an immediate reward for their faith, but it was just the appetizer of the fullness God would bring. You say, what do you mean? Princess came, daughter of Pharaoh. Miriam is watching. Miriam says, would you perhaps want what was called a wet nurse? Would you need somebody to nurse this baby? I just have a suggestion, please. It's a miracle. It's like, did that one, God? But I want you to know, Moses' parents died before they ever saw the full return on their investment of faith. I don't even think they had lived long enough to see him flee off out of Egypt into the desert, into that detour of destiny. It's unlikely. They certainly aren't alive 80 years later. They died. They had like an appetizer, or another word, like a down payment on the full return of what God intended. But they had to die in faith. So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, I know that scripture somewhere. And it wasn't very far. It was just on the other side of the page. Chapter 11, still in verse 13, all these people. And it's before the list, but the principle holds true. All these people were still living by faith when they died. It's funny bunch of words. Living, died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Okay, folks, here's my Hamilton May 12th word. The Lord spoke to me and said, you can even trust God with something that dies. So, wait a minute, Lord. We better negotiate. Keep singing. Man, keep singing. I'm negotiating here a little bit. You mean sometimes when visions die? He said, yeah. Because it never changes God. And your investment is not wasted. And the faithfulness, the flame of that faithfulness doesn't get extinguishing what God said. Everything is decided, not by the fact it died, but whether or not you were on location and it died, but you were living in faith. I'm going to chew on this, Pastor Joy. I will have today's date by that verse. This year we were shocked. Okay, quickly, I'll take you there. Last year when we were here, we didn't even talk about it, I don't think, unless we finally talked out at the parking lot. But just weeks before that, Jack had been in the ICU. This was the last preach that we did. We were looking forward. Nothing was on the schedule. Jack's heart was weakened. He was operating at 30% about that time when we were here. We were believing. We had a schedule. We were preaching in Nova Scotia in July, end of July. Right about then, anyway, when it was, no, first of August, long weekend in August, right in there, right sometime. It was a gallstone. They couldn't operate because his heart, they said, you're not a surgeon in Canada, will touch you. You'll die on the operating table. Your heart has to get stronger, but you got to pray that gallstone quiet. Well, okay. Okay, I'd like to tell, I wish I could tell you that I just got up every morning singing, God is still on the throne. Probably didn't. But in the month of June, three times within a few days, someone gave us the verse, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest unto your souls. And the first two times, I thought, if somebody doesn't stop giving me that verse. Jack did not end up in ICU 17 days after we were away, 8 weeks. If it had happened, folks, in Colombo or Bangalore or Jaffna or New Orleans, it would be a very different story. God did not do that because we were tired and we needed a rest. Come on. But they just kept sending me that verse. And finally I said, okay, I'm disgusted, but I will check the verse. The Holy Spirit said, check the Greek meaning for rest. I said, that's the one that's causing me to be angry. He says, check it. The second rest, two times the English is used, it's a different Greek word. The first one is more like rest. The second one means intermission. And Holy Spirit said, this is just the intermission. And there was an act before, and there will be an act after. You don't have to fight for your seat. You don't have to go and buy another ticket. It's just intermission. That changed everything, Pastor Joy. Absolutely everything. And things that we always did die. But now, on the basis of what he said this morning, I see the difference. They didn't die. Yeah, I lamented over some of it, of course. But it was, they died in faith. I want to speak that because I believe God was talking to more than me. And I declared today when that flame burned, God was being faithful. What happens after this, folks, is going to reestablish the plan of God. I've got a word. I want to declare it. It's loud in my spirit. And then I'm going to turn this microphone back to your leadership. Moses' parents made a decision. Let's just review it. They were at a Kairos time. It was within a fellowship of bold, gutsy faith. There was an atmosphere of bold risk-taking. They were aligning with heaven's vision over that child. And they had no promise of it, but they would receive like an appetizer for the full meal deal coming. What did they do? They made a decision that will multiply to the benefit of many. I'm going to say it again. They made a decision that would multiply for the benefit of many. Those are the kind of decisions I want to make. Would you stand with me all over this room? Father, we are blessed, we are privileged to be in your presence. We realize that you don't do things casually and never flippantly. I would ask you right now to come visit us in those intimate places. Father, if there's places of disappointment today, I ask you that we will not abandon our position of faith. Father, I declare over every individual in this room that something can be set in motion by their faith. Set in motion by their faith. In Jesus' name, every reason why not is consumed by the flame of your faithfulness. But your faithfulness is never consumed. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now that where we were tempted to stop believing, that you will come with an injection and a restart. Reboot us in the language of computers. Reboot us today. We make a choice to align with the vision of heaven. And we choose, and we say yes, and we know that it will be for the benefit of many. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was awesome. Amen. What an incredible, tremendous word for us at Core Church. Amen? What a tremendous word. Just join me in this. I'm gonna